Welcome everyone to episode 49 of Missing Pieces. If this is your first time watching or listening, this isn't usually how things are done around here. Everyone else that's been watching these are probably thinking right now, Greg, this looks very similar to how you do things around here. Well, right now is where I usually would sit down and discuss my life, Lego, and anything else that's on my mind this week, but I've already done that. In fact, I did that on Friday night, unintentionally. If you guys didn't know, I have this little thing called Patreon, and I have a Friday night patron group that I sit down with, and every week we do a live stream, and occasionally I'll be building a Lego set, sometimes we're tearing Lego sets down, sometimes we're just sitting and chatting, and this week was one of those weeks. I sat up over at Baratect for the first time ever, and I sat down just to have a Friday night conversation with all the cool people that were there. And in this particular case, I ended up talking about many of the topics that I was planning to talk about today in Missing Pieces, and it turned out really well. I love the conversation, where it went, especially because it wasn't just me sitting there talking to the void. Having a live audience there while I was talking about these things really created some great conversation. And for me, when I was done with it, I was just like super proud of where it went, because I talked about a lot of things that is going on in my life and things that I'm thinking about. I talked about my life dreams. I talked about 3 years of being self-unemployed. And for me, it felt like a shame that I couldn't share that with the world. And I thought, well, I could sit down Sunday and just kind of try to redo it again without the poor audio quality that you probably are going to experience in this, and the lighting and everything wasn't on point because I was doing it with my iPhone. But many of you guys don't care that and or care about that. For me, just like you, it's about the message. And I felt like the message with this was, it was really good. And again, a lot of that is because of the people that I was streaming with, because the Patreon group is full of amazing people. But this thing that you're about to watch, this recording you're about to watch, symbolized everything that I wanted to talk about with you guys. So I edited it down. I cut out all of the chat and stuff that we were doing. I cut out any kind of things that would invade someone's privacy that was in that group call, because I felt like this is a private thing, and maybe some of the things that people say in there are just meant for just the people that are there. So instead of it going out to the world, this is just my thoughts and the things that I wanted to talk about this week with you guys in this episode. So I hope you enjoy this little segment here of Missing Pieces Friday Night Patreon Stream Edition. I think it turned out really well, and again, I just hope you guys enjoy it and you can take something away from this. So on that, enjoy this episode, and we'll see you next week for Missing Pieces episode 50, which will be just a regular episode, at least as far as I know. Let's start this off. I know we started off on a bit of a negative note with my setup here, and I was kind of bummed about it. Let's go with some wins of the week. What are your wins of the week that you guys have going on? Think of yours. It can be anything. It can be Lego-related, non-Lego-related. And I'll tell you what my win of the week is while you're putting yours in. My win of the week this week was reviving my gaming channel. It's something that, well, I'll give you the backstory on my gaming channel, because some of you guys probably maybe don't even know that I have one. But I started a toy channel 1 year before I started Brickitect. And my idea was that I was going to revive or rekindle my childhood love of action figures and stuff like that, while also getting new stuff as well, because I would always go over to Kmart like during my lunch breaks, and I would look around over there at all the toys that they had, and I was like, oh dude, it'd be kind of cool to like have an excuse to get a channel going. So I did that, and I realized I wasn't like super passionate about just being like a toy reviewer. I didn't just want to show action figures with a white background, which is exactly what I was doing, because that's what people were doing. And I was like, okay, I'm not really enjoying that. So about a year later, I started a whole new channel called Brickitect, which is you may have heard of. And I want to say, I don't know what year it was that I decided I wanted to do a gaming channel, but I would talk about how I really wanted to do a gaming channel. And I had people like ask me, when are you going to do it? When are you going to do it? And I was like, I'll get to it. Then there was a guy in one of our live streams. I was streaming on Bricktech Live. I think it was 2018. And he did the greatest favor for me that anyone has ever done. And he told me that I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to make a gaming channel. It's not going to happen. And that's all it took. I was like, you know what? Nothing motivates me more than proving someone wrong that says I can't do something. So that very day, I started a gaming channel. And what I did is I revived my old toy channel. I brought that back from the dead, renamed it. What was the name? I changed it since then. Games with Greg, which I thought was a good name at the time. So I named it Games with Greg. And then we started gaming on there somewhat consistently, and then on and off and whatnot. And it went pretty well. I have almost 6,000 subscribers over there. But earlier this year, when I got my new computer that you were just listening to, that was sounded like a rocket ship about to take off, I tried setting everything up the way I had it before with YouTube and streaming on YouTube. And for some reason,
I wasn't able to make the connection between my streaming service and YouTube. So I ended up switching over to Twitch. And in doing so, I couldn't be games with Greg anymore, because as you can probably predict, on a site that does nothing but streams games, somebody with the name Greg obviously came along at some point in Twitch's history and said, I'm going to be games with Greg. So I was like, what's my new name going to be? And I came up with the name Gamer Attacked, because it fits in with the brand of everything we do. And it's like Gamer Attacked. I was going to do Games Attacked or Game Attacked, but the spelling on Game Attacked was just super weird. It was going to be G-A-M-E-I-T-E-C-T, which is just odd. So I did Gamer Attacked. And I was streaming there a little bit in the winter / spring. And then summer came and that kind of went by the wayside. But now it's like school starting up again, and I'm trying to get these different schedules going, and it's something that I want to do. Like, I've been really interested in playing games again, because it's been like a huge passion of my entire life, as you probably know. And I started doing it again this week. In fact, it's even better, because I started the week streaming on Twitch, which I've never really loved, because I have 5,000 or 6,000 subscribers on YouTube on my gaming channel, and on my Twitch channel I have like 200 and some followers. I found out the hard way, or the easy way maybe, that it's very difficult to get people to switch platforms. It's so hard to tell people like, hey, I know you love being on YouTube and the games and all the stuff you see here. How about you come over to Twitch and we do it over there? Nobody does it. Nobody wants to. So this morning I did a test where I used Streamlabs OBS, which I tried once before and had issues with the audio syncing up. Like, I would shoot a gun in a game, and you could see, basically you could hear me say, I'm going to shoot a gun. I shoot the gun and you see the gun shoot. And then like 2 seconds later, you hear the gun shoot. And I was like, it's not going to fly. So I was using this other janky software, but today I used Streamlabs and it worked flawlessly. So I'm back to streaming on YouTube. I streamed a game of Minecraft today with Clarkman, where we're working on building in creative mode. And I think I'm just going to start doing it. My goal is to stream every single day on there. And financially, I have a goal. Right now, the channel is actually doing okay, I guess. It earns about $30 a month as passive income. Like, I haven't done anything on there, but just because I have so many videos out there, it just kind of grinds away. My goal is to get that to $100 a month. I have like this dream in my mind that I want to say that I make $100 a month playing video games. Not something most people can say. And I don't want to do it because not most people can say it, but I want to do it because I think it's like, it's epic. It's awesome. And I think it's a good story to share with people, to say, no matter what your dream is, you can do it if you really want to put the time and effort into it. And that's what I intend to do to get there. So I'm going to try to stream there at least once a day, trying to do something or other. And the fact that it's live is so good for me, because I don't have to sit down and edit. So literally I can pop on for 20 minutes, play a game or something. And when I'm done, I'm done. And the video sits there. People watch, people don't. It can be whatever it is. So that was my win of the week. That was my short story of my win of the week. And I'm pretty stoked about that. So you'll be hearing more about that in upcoming weeks as well. My win of the week was making it through another week of work. Congrats, dude. I think that's an accomplishment. I remember my days where I used to be thankful that I made it through another week of work. I remember Friday at 5 o'clock being like the greatest moment of my life every single week. In fact, it's going to be the topic of this week's Missing Pieces, I believe. It's going to be 3 years of self-unemployment for me. I kind of knew it was coming up, and I was thinking about it like a week or so ago. I'm like, man, it's been almost 3 years. And then I saw someone post on my Reddit, and they were like, hey, it's been 3 years exactly since Greg's been full-time YouTube. And I historically have made videos on Greg's World where I talk about it. I really don't think the audience there really gives a crap about it. So I think Missing Pieces is the perfect place to kind of talk about that. And my thoughts on being over 1,000 days self-unemployed, as I call it. I think it's pretty cool. So I'm excited about that. And I can talk about mainly about how this year was really going to be a crapshoot with all the stuff that YouTube was handing down. That was even before all of the coronavirus stuff and Chima and all that stuff hit. And somehow I somehow survived it. So we're okay. We're surviving. I appreciate you guys for helping support that. He clarifies. He says, I do enjoy my work, but being a small business owner managing 15 employees can get crazy at times. Just need to recharge over the weekends. One thing I hate more than anything, I shouldn't say that, one thing that I absolutely despise is managing people. I like to manage one person, and that one person's myself. I like being in charge of my own destiny. I like knowing that I have goals that I want to hit, and I like working towards those goals. I don't like trying to motivate other people to accomplish those goals. It especially was bad when those people that you're managing, I don't know what your people are like, probably decent. When you're managing people that are incompetent, people that can't even be taught the things that they need to know because they lack the brain capacity to do simple tasks. That was my life as a manager. I hated every moment of it. I liked being a guy. This is why I think I work so well on YouTube and why this is perfect for me, is because I like being a guy that's like, the harder I work, oh my gosh, the harder I work, the luckier I get. The harder I work, the more I go towards my goals, the better I'll do. I worked as a hourly employee with like a commission on top of that. And I loved that because it was something where I knew that if I did my job well and if I excelled, then I could get paid more. And YouTube's very much the same way. I could literally do nothing for the rest of this year if I wanted to. I could literally not do a single thing, but you're gonna pay the consequences, right? Or I could work really hard. I could try to manage a household, try to take care of Clark Man, try to be his teacher, try to take care of my animals, try to do all these things and try to excel at all those things and do my best at it and possibly succeed at it. I'd much rather do that. I like having goals, but I just like being a lone wolf, if that's what you want to call it. And I didn't like telling people what to do. And as bad as it sounds, I don't like being told what to do. And I know that's kind of like an immature thing to say, but I just hated being the middleman. I hated having a boss above me who had a boss above that person, and like they squawk down, that person squawks down, I have to squawk down. It wasn't the life that I was created for. 3 years self-unemployed, and I've never been happier with what I've been doing. And I love the fact that I'm not constrained in any way as to what I do. I can literally do anything that I put my mind to. I can take my channels in any direction that I want. Tomorrow, if I decide all I want to do is stream racing games, I would try to become one of the premier racing game streamers. If I decided all I want to do is Lego speed builds, I could do that. If all I wanted to do on my vlog channel is show myself eating noodles 365 days a year, I could do that. Like, and the funny thing is, the weirder and more like narrow you get in what you do on YouTube, the more successful you are, because there's equally weird people out there, no matter how weird you are. And that's why I try to encourage people that are trying to start a channel or trying to do something. And I talk to people in real life. I'm like, what is your hobby? What do you like to do? And it could be something weird. I like taking flaming bows and arrows, and I like shooting it into hay bales and catching them on fire, doused in gasoline and making them explode. I'd be like, well, you need to make a channel about that, because there's somebody else out there that likes that same exact thing, and you're going to be wildly successful at it. I saw a channel one time that all they did was take a hydraulic press and crush stuff in it. Channel was insane. The worst thing you can do is what I do, which is spread yourself out all over the place. People find Greg's World and they're like, oh, this dude does inflatable pool videos. This is great. And they're like, wait, what's this RC stuff that he's doing? Wait, what's this HelloFresh stuff that he's doing? And it's dangerous to do that. You end up with a lot of people that are like fragmented within that. So that's why I think having like a set series and stuff is probably the best thing to do. But do you really care about starting a YouTube channel? Probably not. I guess I feel like the people I talk to are on here are people like me. Clark starts school on Tuesday, so that's going to be a thing. Last night, his teacher said that to plan for like 2.5 hours a day. And I was like, what? 2.5 hours? I was thinking like we would get up, freaking crank out schoolwork at like 7 o'clock in the morning until like 8 o'clock, and then start our day and have our adventures and do what we do. But we'll see. I think Clark's going to breeze through it pretty quickly, especially with me helping. This whole remote learning thing is sort of like, it's like homeschooling, only somebody's giving you the lessons you need to do. But I'm being held accountable to that person. So I almost feel like I have a boss again, which I'm not a big fan of. But it is what it is. This is the way it's going to be. I was shocked to see how few students are taking the remote learning option. They had a list on the school door of the kids that are in like this teacher's class and this teacher's class in kindergarten. And there's like section A and section B and section A and section B. And I would say there's about 55 students that are between those two classes. And then they had the remote kids, and including Clark, there's only about 10 kids that are doing the remote thing. But then I started thinking, like, most parents, they're not home. They're not home like I am, or have the luxury of being. And if this was 3 years ago or more than that, we probably couldn't do the remote thing. So I think that's probably a big reason, but I still feel for these parents, because the way the school's doing, it's called a hybrid system, where if you have a kid, they're either gonna go Monday and Wednesday every week, or they're gonna go Tuesday and Thursday in an effort to like spread out the classes a little bit. So if you have a kid that's say 7 years old that has been going to school for a few years now, Monday through Friday, and that kind of works with your work schedule because you're at work when they're at school, all of a sudden you need a babysitter or somebody in your family or something to watch this kid for 3 days a week because no one goes on Friday. And that's like a huge financial burden. I don't know if you guys have had had any kids in preschool or daycare or whatever, but that crap is expensive. And now these parents are being burdened with this, and I feel terrible about it. But it's going to get, I predict, and even the lady I talked to today, she seems to think that within a matter of weeks or just maybe 6 weeks or 2 months or so, all the students are going to be home anyway. As soon as some cases start popping up in the school and it starts getting bad, it's inevitable. So this to me is just, we're kind of just skipping a step, in my opinion, with Clark, man. Why send him in there just for him to end up coming home anyway? But I do feel bad for him because it's like all these other kids are doing it, all these hybrid kids. And Clark's going to be one of the kids that doesn't have like a proper first day of kindergarten. But it's going to be weird anyway because like everyone has to wear a mask. And can you imagine trying to manage a group of five-year-olds with masks, trying to keep them from being all over each other? It's going to be a nightmare for these teachers. I feel so bad. How's Cody doing going back to school? Hope's going well. She had to do in-service today and yesterday. So that's been going okay. She's stressed out too because she has to develop plans for these kids that are there, of course. And then she has to kind of modify her lessons that she's been teaching for 10 years because they're doing the hybrid thing. So only some students are going to be here this day and some this day. And they're not, you can't make as much progress that way, right? As opposed to having kids Monday through Friday. And then there's also an online day. So she has to have online stuff ready. And then there's also the kids that are like Clark that aren't going. And she has to prepare for them as well. And she's going to have to do videos and potentially live streams and stuff like that. So good thing she has a hubby that knows how to do all this stuff. Students start on the first, which is Tuesday. So we'll see how it goes. It's going to be a tough year. I think the best thing for her and most teachers probably is for just to go completely remote, because then you're just dealing with one set of things. But the weird thing is the teachers still have to go to school on no matter what. So even if all the kids are remote and there's not a single student in the school, all the teachers have to report there each day as though there is. I guess maybe to keep them accountable so they're not just sitting around all day at their house or whatever to avoid distractions with their family and stuff. But even that I think is kind of rude because it's like, okay, all the students are remote. There's no one in the school. What if you have a kid that's home? Like, wouldn't that be nice if you're a teacher, if you could be home with that kid during the day that it got sent home from school, this very school that you go to? I don't know. It's just weird times we're living in, man. He says, I hate Chima. I agree. I like the Lego stuff, I suppose, just fine, but not this. I feel like it's robbed me of a lot of memories this year. Vacations that we didn't get to take in time, but I have no regrets about this summer. I made a lot of good memories with Clark, man, like going out and running RC trucks and stuff. It was kind of, that whole hobby was kind of just a side effect of Chima, basically, because otherwise, I don't know if we'd been doing all that, but it was like, hey, why not, right? We're doing this. We have nothing else to do. Let's go run some trucks. No one else is around anywhere. And that's been fun. Discovered a really fun hobby. I wish I had the opportunity to have all of the awesome trucks that I have now when I was a kid. I remember just having like this one that I really loved. But man, if I could go back and have all of these awesome opportunities that Clark has now, I'd be pretty pumped. I just really need to balance that line between like Clark appreciating these things, because I have memories of things that I had when I was a kid that like really meant a lot to me. And I don't know if Clark's gonna have that, like in Lego. Like I remember like individual Lego sets that I had. I remember like certain pieces from those and the minifigs and stuff. We do so much and we get so much that I don't know if Clark's gonna have a similar experience. RC trucks. How many trucks do we have right now? Like I have more trucks in the last 3 months than easily than I had my entire life. So I gotta make sure he appreciates these things. I try to explain to him how we acquire these things too. I'm like, you know, these videos that we make, lots of people watch them and enjoy them, and we use the money from that to buy these, and that's how this happens. And like this YouTube thing that we do, all this time that I spend editing and making videos and all, like the times you see them with my camera, that's the reason we have this opportunity to be together. And if it wasn't for this, we wouldn't have that. But you know, I think that's maybe he's a little bit too young to understand that right now. I don't know if he really knows that. I guess he does know that these videos are going out to the world because he watches them. He goes back and watches our videos, and he watches other videos too, so he must understand that. Plus he talks to people through live streams and like our friend group and stuff. So I don't know. I have to do a really good job of trying to make sure that he appreciates the things that we get. And I think he does. Like I see it with mail time, all the stuff we get. He's always, every time Cody gets home on mail day, he's showing her all the stuff we got and stuff. So it's like, I don't think it's lost on him. I don't think it's like, oh, I got another thing, whatever sums it up. So I remember having a lot of fun with a very fun dad. Yeah, I hope so. I think he's going to have a lot of memories that I never had in my life with my dad. And like, I cherish all this time. Like, I think, you know, I talked about being 3 years self-unemployed, and I think about all the experiences that I got with him that I would have never had. Like, I was living a life where I would leave the house at 7:15 every day, and I would get home at like 6:15, usually, sometimes working Saturdays as well. So like, literally the only time that I would have with Clark is when I get home. And maybe you're in this boat, and I don't want to make you feel bad about this, but like, maybe you can relate to this, but I would get home, just be exhausted, and like literally be at home in time for like, they already ate dinner. So I'd usually sometimes eat dinner by myself because they were hungry before 6:15, but then I'd get home, eat, maybe sit around for a bit, play with them, and then bath and then bed. And I missed it the first 2 years of his life, which at the time seemed pretty drastic and catastrophic to me. But now to have the whole year of 3 years old and some of two, and the whole year of 4 years old, and now the whole year of 5 years old, and now to have this blessing, and that's what we need to think about, this whole Chima thing is a blessing to have this extra year with him, I think is really cool. Because otherwise it wouldn't have been. This Tuesday, Clark would have went off to school and it'd be me here, which I admit would be like, there's a part of me that would be like, this is really awesome because now I have the whole day to dedicate to whatever I want to do. I saw like this renaissance on the horizon on Brickitect and all the things I was going to do there. But now it's Clark, man. It's more of the same. But what I see now is a renaissance on Greg's world of us documenting Monday through Friday. This is our life. This is what we do while also making Lego videos. So what Greg's world is going to be is behind the scenes of the Lego stuff and like teaching Clark and the adventures we have. And I'm going to try to make a video Monday through Friday. I actually got a new camera today that I'm trying out. It's the camera that I was considering months ago. It's called the Sony ZV-1. Thank you, Patreon, for helping me buy this. It was basically this whole month's earnings helped me pay for this camera. But I'll be using it for Lego videos as well. Has a snappy autofocus, 4K, external microphone. I found a really great microphone for it too that I think I'm going to get. It's really cool. That's what I spend my time doing, my friends. I sit on YouTube and I watch camera reviews, camera comparisons, microphone comparisons. It's like my hobby. I think we all have something on YouTube that we tune into and we're excited about and passionate about. If I wasn't vlogging my life or making Lego videos, I'd probably be like a camera reviewer, I guess. But who says I can't be, right? I don't know what Greg's world is going to be this year without Clark. It's hard to say. It's a prospect that I'm wondering what my future holds on that channel, because so much of it has been like our adventures together. Like that's the last 3 years has been, what are we up to? I don't know what I would film if it was just me. I don't know if I would be, I don't know what I'd do. I guess I'd probably pick up Clark up from school and we'd do RC stuff and it'd be like our afternoon adventure channel. But beyond that, I don't know. I guess I could tell you what my long-term plan is on there, being that I'm 3 years unemployed now. I could tell you my long-term idea for Greg's world, or like my vlogging or my life in general. This is like down the line, once Clark's moved out, I'd be like, say I'm like 50 years old or something like that. So we're talking like 15 years from now. I have a dream of saving up money between now and then. It's a long, very long time. Investing it, I guess I could probably do okay. And what I'd like to do is buy a little micro farm and get a couple acres, maybe an old farmhouse that needs fixed up or whatever, that we could do that very easily. And maybe has a barn, has like some other outbuildings and such on it. Maybe a pond would be really fantastic, or access to water. And I'm thinking like a place that's been in someone's family for a very long time, but now it's at the point where like the old people have lived in it and there's no one to pass it to, so it goes on the market or whatever. And I'd like to come in there and buy that. And what I'd like to spend my older years doing is just raising animals on there and growing my own food and just kind of being like self-sufficient, growing fruit trees, kind of going full circle in my life. Because we started out that way and then I kind of went into the technology things and now I'm that. And with a kid, like that kind of works. But like, I just want like kind of like a peaceful place where I can raise animals, grow fruits, grow vegetables, and have some ducks, have a little pig, have some goats, have my dog. Poor Roxy Bear, she won't be around for that one. But cats, rabbits, I don't know, you name it. I'm gonna have pretty much anything under the sun. And I thought maybe my channel would be me living that life and raising these animals and just kind of being at peace in the country. So that's kind of where I want to go. I've contemplated whether we should be living that lifestyle right now, but the one thing that holds me back from getting a ton of animals, including the bird that I want to get, is that I still want to do a lot of traveling. And I can't just have all of these animals and be like, okay, we're going to Yellowstone for 2 months. I need somebody to come here and basically live here with these animals. It's not easy. So that's why I'm thinking when Clark's all grown up, when we've had all of our travel adventures and all the things that we've done, that's like my life goal, I guess, at this point. And I can see it happening. I don't see any reason why I can't make that happen. I've got lots of time to find that perfect place. Even if I find it early, we could certainly buy it and then just pay the taxes on it and stuff until we're ready to make that move. Pretty much sell this place off and do a trade or whatever. Because I can't imagine the place I'm looking for would be that much more expensive than this. We don't need a giant house on it because it'd probably be me and the missus and whatever indoor animals we have. But I don't know. That's kind of like my dream. What are your guys' dreams? Where do you want to go in life? What's like your big plan? Maybe you're 50 now. Maybe you're 15. Like, what's that thing for you? What is your farm? What is your dream? I guess it's important to think, though, like, there's a lot of things that you may want out there. And you have these big dreams or whatever. But it's important to remember that where you're at now is a very good place. If you're sitting here right now on a Friday night, and you're hearing my voice or seeing this image, it means you've won life's lottery. First of all, you were born. Second of all, you were born in one of the greatest times in human history, outside of the Chima virus, but like a time when you don't have to worry about getting killed or like searching for food. You have electricity. You've got an internet connection. You assumingly have enough money to get by and pay for food. If you're a member of my Patreon, I would hope so. So it's important not to forget that things are good right now. If you don't have your own house or you're not retired in Napa, drinking a glass of wine that you grew yourself from grapes, or you're not living in your micro farm in Pennsylvania, you still have it good. It's still good. So, yeah, I guess on that, I don't have too much else to cover here. Again, appreciate you guys tuning in tonight. Hope you have a glorious rest of your night. Think about where you want to go in life if you haven't thought about that. And then ask yourself, what can I do today? This is how I always think this way. What can I do today to make a little dent in that thing that I want to get to later? Like, what little thing can you do that just seems insignificant at the time but could turn into something big later? Think about that stuff all the time, and I hope you do as well. Thank you for the send-off there. You guys have a great evening as well. And on that, we'll see you in the next stream.